Good to just make in those fresh consecrations. It's very much aligns with the message you have today. Just what I believe the Lord wants us to be focused on this time of the year. Praise the Lord. It's safe to say that we're still very much in the first part of the year, the second month, you know, but it's still very much the first part. And some of us are still writing 2020. When we're writing our, filling out forms. Amen. Who's done that already? You write 2020 and you look again and you think, no, it's 2021. But that only happens for a little while, I notice, and we catch ourselves. But it's a new year still, and, you know, we should be focusing on where we want to be this year. How many have got set your goals out already? Just a little hands up. Got it. Three of us. Great. Okay. At least I know I'm speaking to the right mob, you know. But you know, having our goals and our direction set is so important. It's, you know, and having it written down even. I even thought about it this week that I should bring this little book that I've got at home. It's still in my bookshelf. And it's the book where I actually wrote down promises of God. I studied out the promises of God. I looked into every area of my life and actually wrote all these promises of God together into a little prayer in each area. And I started to pray that over my life. And I tell you, it was powerful. You know, it was just that right season. I'll talk about it in a moment. Just at a time where the Lord was really lifting me up from where I was. And this was after I'd become a Christian. All right? This is after I'd become a Christian. And I just found the Lord just calling me into a closer walk with Him, a deeper walk with Him. And, of course, very much for the fulfillment of those callings on my life. But, you know, if you haven't got your spiritual goals going, this is a great reminder today to be actually getting them, you know, written down. Where are you going? What are you doing? And if you haven't, there's still time to do it. I hope today is an encouragement for it. How many of you have ever walked into a shopping centre in another place? In the business world, I'd fly over east sometimes and, you know, I'd have to go shopping, and so you'd go to the local shopping centre, you know, that wherever you were accommodated, you would find out where the shopping centre was and you'd go, and sometimes I'd go and I'd be looking for gifts for the family, you know, for Rose and the kids, and of course I'd go into a shopping centre that I wasn't familiar with, and if I wanted to find a certain shop outlet, you know, well, once you'd figured out, you know, where the directory was. You know those directories, and it's like it's either a square right near the entrance, you know, whether you're coming from that side or that side. They usually got them very close to the entrances. And once you figured out where... You were here. Exactly. Where's my clicker? I wasn't quite ready for that, but that's all right. I think it's appropriate. But, you know, the next thing you do once you find it, you then, you know, have to then find out, you know, where you are. So you've got your coordinates, B14, it's up over here, and then you actually have to go and work out where you are so that you can then get from where you are to where you want to go. And I always like to think that a guidepost, some little guidepost up ahead is really good, like Coles or Woolworths, those big ones that you have, you know, something wrong with you if you miss it on the way. And so you get your bearings that way, and you next thing you know, you find it. And again, the other thing you need to do is remember where you parked your car or, you know, how you got in there, because there's nothing worse than going into a shopping centre and you get to where you're going and then you're lost again and you can't even find another one of those directories, you know, to sort of find your way out again. But, you know, that big arrow that says you are here is so very important. And that's like the Christian life. We have to locate ourselves, don't we? The Word of God is very good at locating you. You can find in the Word of God what it says about you and even where you are at. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's quite clear about showing you where you're at and also where you need to go to. That's really what I want to talk about just to start with this morning. In our spiritual life, we have our directory. It's the Word of God. God's Word remains our directory. I think Pastor Margaret says the TV guide to life. And that's how she describes it. God's written word, either the Logos, what's been written, and has actually been established there. And of course, then there's the Rhema, what God is saying. So we've got what God has said and what he's also saying. You know, we can walk with God, we can hear from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, showing us things to come. Very important that we come to that depth in our Christian walk. And here's a little tip, little inside tip. Some people need to hear this. The Holy Spirit will never contradict God's word. If you're looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, he's never going to lead you past the word of God. There'll be confirmation and it will line up with the word of God. You know, my favourite verse from Psalm 119, and it's a great verse. It's Psalm 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I often pray that because we're looking for that direction from the word of God. It's a verse that speaks of God's nature for our lives and the nature of God's word for our lives. And let's just look at that first component for a minute. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Shows me where we are. Shows me, you know, where I'm currently located. It's a lamp unto my feet. And, you know, it's real honest with us as well. Okay? We can go to the word of God and actually find out what the word is saying about us and where we're currently at. And so often, you know, when we're reading the word that way, it's so that we can make the adjustments needed. So that we can look at it and go, you know what, I need an adjustment. I need to make a change in my life. And that's okay, isn't it? You know, it's all right to look, come to the Word of God and find the areas where we need adjustment. And, you know, the Apostle James describes the Word of God as a mirror, one that we should always be looking into. All right, and I'll look at that one as well. Very good. It says in chapter 1 and verse 22 to 24 in James, it says, "But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only." You know, if I found one thing that actually slows Christians up in their walk and in their progress and in their, I guess you could say, pathway toward maturity, is that they hear the word, but they don't do it. They've heard the word, and they just don't do it. Don't put it into practice like they should. So very important. Look what it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Well, you know, we go to the mirror to see what we look like. In other words, to find out where we are and to make adjustments. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you look in the mirror and no adjustments are needed. You know, just, you know, that look where you can kind of move on knowing that everything's where it should be and everything's good. And I went into I think I was in the mirror yesterday and I realised that I'd cut myself shaving. And I thought, oh, that's no good. And so I picked it as I was looking in the mirror. And as we're driving down the road, Johnson says, "You're bleeding, Dad. You're bleeding down your neck, you know." And I was, oh, am I? You know, and I, of course, I'd forgotten, you know. And I'd sort of just, you know, just scratched it. And of course, it started bleeding again. But, you know, it's important that we recognise that as we look into the Word of God, we see areas in our life that need adjustment and that we act on that. We don't forget those areas or dismiss it or, worse, deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay. Watch out. That we don't deceive ourselves, I'll say that again, into thinking it's not important. We should be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And, you know, here's just another little inside word. Don't use the word in your life to judge others. We're quiet now in church. We start saying that. Judge yourselves. Jesus said, judge, you know, judge yourself. Judge not that you be not judged. So he's sort of saying, you know, judge yourself. Look at yourself in that mirror and make the adjustments. So very important again. You know, we need to gain our bearings in life, find out where we are by what the Word of God says about us. And many Christians are locked into a view of themselves that is not based on what God's Word says about them. They've saved, they've received Jesus, they've made him Lord of their lives, but their mindset is full of worldly values. Watch out for those worldly values, you know, where our lens is very much not a scriptural one, but it's attitudes that we've picked up along the way in life. And we need to correct that. We need to align ourselves to the Word of God. That's the lifestyle of Christian progress, is we start to align our minds and our thinking. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. It says, lay that aside. Why is that? Because we're new creatures. We've become new creatures in Christ, and we should live that way. And in living that way, we bring honour and glory to God. Amen? We do. When we lay it aside. And look what it says. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I've been warning you about the Amplified Version, because it's going to keep coming up, because I do like it. It says, so put aside every trace of malice, all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech. Put it aside, lay it aside. Like newborn babes, you should long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation and its ultimate fulfillment. Verse 3, if in fact you have already tasted the goodness and graciousness and kindness of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, he has a guidance for us all toward maturity. And he's, you know, it's there. It's an answer for which is both our mind and our spirit. So, you know, we've got the verse there from Peter. We've got a verse here from Paul. And as believers, as born again spirits that have been regenerated, that's the work that's completed on the inside of us. Okay, that's the new creature that's been regenerated by God. But our mind, our thought life, our attitudes, and of course even our bodies, and its inclinations require that discipline from the Word. We need to put that Word in to help us and guide us into maturity. For example, when you're reaching for that second piece of cake, just let you know that's not the devil tempting you, okay? That's your flesh, okay? And you can't say, get behind me, Satan, you know? That is the flesh at work, you know, when you know. And I know, I experience it. Some of you can't tell, but I do. I actually experience that from time. And just also let you know, you can't cast out calories, all right? So just again, realizing that we all have flesh, we all have flesh to deal with, we all have inclinations. And Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, I beat my body and I bring it into subjection. But, you know, thank God we have the help of heaven to transform us. Amen? Thank God that where we have little areas in our life where we have weaknesses, we can call on God for that transforming power to help us out of where we are. No matter, you know, whether it be food or whether it be some other area of your life, you can call on the Lord. Look what he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, great verse, great scripture, but it's just telling us that there's a process of transformation that goes on in our lives. And I thank God that he's made supernatural power available to us, but it's like we are the ones that need to step up for that process. We're the ones that have to step and say, you know what, I need that. I need that in my life. I need help with that. Let's just look again at Psalm 119, verse 105, particularly that second part. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God's word not only lights us up and lets us know where we are, it also lets us know where we can go. So in other words, it doesn't leave us in hopelessness saying, well, you know, we've missed it and we're just sinners saved by grace. You know, he wants us to go on to maturity. He wants us to go on to what he has for us. The word of God shows me where I can go. And you know, when you have that directory reference in the shopping center, don't get distracted. You know, stay on track. You know, when I go shopping with Rosemary, I try and find out what it is that we're going shopping for. Okay? Because that sale sign will surely get us heading in another direction. It'll give us a detour. We'll end up over there. And, I've actually got a great idea. I really think that they should put PlayStations, TVs, you know those seats that they put up against the columns in the big shopping centres where you can sit down while someone else is shopping? I reckon they should put a play center station there. You know, they should make it for a few of the guys, you know, that could just get there. Maybe a little table, drinks that you could just sit there and chat with some of the other people. I think shopping would be a whole more enjoyable process if they did do that. But I don't know. Those guys that run those shops just don't think like I think. But anyway. But, you know, I remember those days when I began to realise that God's will for my life was intended to be my purpose for life. God's will for my life was my purpose. I started to see the Word of God as where I could find God's will for my life and His purpose. And here's a tip. It was not until I dedicated myself to God's purpose that I began to see God's grace and mighty hand start to reorganise my life. I love that song that we just sung, you know, Come Holy Spirit, because it's a song of dedication. It's a song of, Lord, I need you. And I was sitting under some good ministry at that time in my life, and I realised that I wasn't where God really wanted me. And just to move on to where He wanted me was just an extra little step, and it was very much a step of dedication. But I tell you what it was like. It was like jumping into a river with a strong flowing current. Once I jumped in, the current did the rest. Just took me down. Just took me down into what God had for me. But we have to take the jump. We have to take the step. We have to not sit on the side of the river and watch others, you know, who are in this. We need to jump in for ourselves. You know, and I remember when I took that step, my work situation turned around. You know, my relationships were adjusted. You know, how many know that you can be saved and going to heaven and still be in wrong relationships? Watch your relationships, okay? People are just not going in the same direction as you, you know? And it's a distraction from God's direction. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, I like it. It says, he that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, sometimes it's the bad influences around us that stop us from making that next step into what God has for us. That next step, that actually, you know, jumping in the river, is because there's a party going on the side of the river and we're distracted by that. You know, those acquaintances, those ones that we, you know, that are still my old life. Look, I remember very distinctly when those first few weeks when I first got saved and I started to realise that I'd received a gift from God and that it was available for everyone. And I started going around seeing all my friends and telling them, hey, you know how I got baptised and became a Christian? And they're going, yeah. Well, that was a gift from God. And you know what? That gift was not just for me. It's for you as well. You know, and they put up with that for a little while until finally that group of friends started to tire of hearing it from me. And that group of friends showed me the door, you know, eventually. Well and truly told that, you know, Peter, we love you and we like you having, you know, coming around and that, but please don't go on about that, you know, that righteousness thing that you're talking about. But, you know, I found that, you know, the church had become my family as well. And so they were now embracing me where my old friends were no longer embracing me. And so you begin to walk on. Very, very mindful that there is no substitute for that gift that God had given. And I couldn't deny it. I couldn't deny that sense of being a new person in Christ and wanted to continue walking on with that. You know, to get to where God wants us, we need to be certain that our relationships are not holding us back. For some, that change, you know, that you need is going to be a direct result of fresh devotion in your life to God's purposes. You know, and it is a challenging time and a season. You know, and I could think of some moments where you could have quite easily have stepped back out to where you were. You know, gone back and gone into a bit of revision in relationships and, you know, some of those people that I'd known for so long. And I found out that God's blessing was as I made that next step. And it was really what it is a surrender to His will, a surrender to His purposes. And that reset to His purposes came in the form of humility. And of course, that's our part, isn't it? Humility. And the change that occurs is then his part. And we've got to see that. You know, over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." You know, there's really three parts to this reset. And just in the time that we've got remaining, I'd like to look at it. Number one is that we humble ourselves. We stop being in control of our own destiny. All right? Some of you got your hand on the wheel, and God's saying, get your hand off the wheel, because he wants to take over. And it's such a rest to let God drive. It really is such a rest. You know, it's the classic old saying that we've heard, and some of you heard it, let go and let God. And, you know, in the kingdom of God, the way up or forward is down. The way up is down. And it's through humility. That's what I mean by down. It's through humility. In the kingdom of God, the way up is down, you know. But it's a decision to do that. The second part is this. The Lord begins to exalt you. You do what you need to do. So you just humble yourself under his mighty hand. Begin to just surrender yourself to him and let you know, submit to his ways and start saying, no, Lord, I am going to continue on reading the word of God on a regular basis and being in a church fellowship. I am going to continue, you know, in this way and in this fashion. I'm going to continue praying. We do our part. Watch out. He'll do his part. And as I say, very much through humility. But his part is he begins to exalt us. Okay, now that word I know seems a little strange, but look what it says. The word exalt is a Greek word, hupsu. Hupsu. All right, and its definition is to lift, to raise up, to exalt, to uplift. And God can exalt you at any moment in your life, but we've got to be surrendered. We've got to be, you know, we must humble ourselves for that to occur. And I remember that real clear. That time and that season. As I say, I've been a Christian probably 2-3 years, and it's just a little bit before I'd met Rosemary. As I said, when the Lord begins to readjust your life, he changes relationships. Rosemary, into my life at that same time. It's just an adjustment. And we were just amazed, and we, you know, even our connection we felt was miraculous. You know, we really felt it was a God thing, and God was doing something, and it was very, very clear that he was doing something, because before that she didn't even like me. And, you know, it became an exalting season. God was lifting, you know, lifting us up, and it very much became a ride that we both enjoyed, wasn't it, love? You know, where we started to walk with the Lord in a deeper way. And, you know, it seemed like I'd hit the stairwell, and now every step was a step up. Every step was a, you know, going up to another place. And I remember that sensation of just being lifted from where I was. And it was a spiritual shift by his grace. And of course, there was favour that was given. And really quite amazed by it. You know, some of you need to find your launching pad. And let me assure you, finding that launching pad is very much the place of humility, where you just say, I'm just not going to do this anymore. Strangely enough, the season and the timing there it was, I had stopped, and I'll just let you know, I had been single, and I was still looking for, you know, the one. And as you do, most people do when they're, you know, they're single, they're sort of looking for that one. And as it turned out, I'd actually made a consecration in that area as well and said, oh Lord, I'm just not going to look anymore. I'm not even looking. So, you know, there'd be church functions and that, and wasn't even looking around to sort of see, you know, whether there's, you know, a girl of, you know. And within 2.5 weeks, Rosemary and I were talking. It was like the Lord just grabbed that season and grabbed that time and just adjusted, you know, for purpose to be fulfilled. You know, and I just encourage you, you know, young people, if you're here this morning, you're thinking about that life partner, you're thinking about that marriage partner, you're thinking about that would be the thing that you really need to do next in your life, is to submit it to God. Give it to him. Pray about it. Sorry? Rosemary's saying, tell them what prayer I prayed. The prayer I prayed was really simple, and it was, Lord, you know all the women in all the world. You know all their hearts, and you know the one that is right for me. And I said, bring her to me. And it came from a point of frustration. It came from that really, you know, passionate place of, I'm just frustrated with this. And Rosemary and I were talking on the phone within 2.5 weeks, out of a place of knowing her, but she didn't really like me. And she used to avoid me. And God made a change in her heart. And we were talking about what? This shift, this change. Amen? God can do it in your relationships. I tell you, He can exalt your relationships to where He wants you. And we really encourage you to sort of live that way. It's the last scripture, and I just want to continue with this. Psalm 40 in verse 31. It says, but those who wait upon the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in Him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God. Beautiful, out of the Amplified. Like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. What a beautiful passage talking about the lift that God can put under your wings. You know, the third part is to begin praying over everything. Casting your cares upon Him because He cares for you. You know, that season in my life where I was really submitting everything to God was very much a prayerful season. I was just submitting things to God, you know, areas where I'd been frustrated, things where I was concerned or even anxious about. I just started to bring those before the Lord. You know, I was talking about that book where I'd written down those prayers earlier. You know, that book became something I prayed out of all the time because it sort of broke my, you know, my life down into areas that were covered by God's promises. And by faith, I was just praying those out. And it was just wonderful. You know, that was a season where the Lord just, you know, really lifted me up. My memory of it is it seemed that my prayers had priority stamped on them. And, you know, it was a wonderful sensation and season in my life. It was like the Lord just grabbed, you know, what I would describe as a wobbly direction that I was kind of going. Look, I mean, I was in church. All right. I'll just say this so, you know, you don't think I'm talking about people who are outside the church. I was in church. I was in church twice on Sundays. We'd go to one church in the morning and the guys that I was living with, we'd go to another church in the evening. You know why we went to the other church in the evening? Because it had more girls in it. So we were being good Christian guys, you know, but the thing was is that we're wobbly and our motives were all wrong and, you know, all of that. And God started to align us with His word. And I tell you, it was a real wake-up call when the Lord actually called me to pastoral ministry in that setting, in that house, with an open vision that gave me such direction. And, of course, really started to shape up after that and say, you know, God's got calling on my life and I'm going to fulfill it. But when we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, we take on His strength. You know, we the wind of the Spirit carries us upward and into His purposes and His will. You find yourself wanting to pray over every aspect of life, knowing that He cares, because that's the scripture that we've looked at. You know, cast your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. He cares for every single one of us. He wants to see our prayers answered. But we just have to start submitting ourselves to His purpose and plan. You know, we should be setting our direction afresh. Make sure that it involves the Word of God and prayer. And change your daily routine. That's where I really felt there was a real sync with that last song that we sung there about, you know, come Holy Spirit. Because we should be inviting the Holy Spirit in on a daily basis. Amen. I think it was Benny Hinn that wrote the book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. That was his. That's the way he started his day each day. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Like He was there. Why? Because He is. And, you know, He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to invade your life when you're not wanting it. He's going to come on your invitation. And, you know, as we close this morning, I want you to, again, just remind yourselves that we're all here this morning because we believe that the kingdom of God is made up of every single person that's made Jesus Saviour and also Lord. And we really want to make the invitation very clear this morning to anyone that's here that says, you know, my life is not what it should be. I'm not happy with where I've gotten in life. And that, you know, if there's some way out of the life that I'm living, you know, could you help me with that? And I'd say, look, I can't. And in fact, you'll probably find that there's people in here that would admit freely, I can't help you with that. But we know who can. And we know that Jesus is in the business of transforming lives, turning people around from one direction that they're going in to another. But it's up to us to choose that. You know, it's up to us today. And I want to make an invitation to anyone this morning who's in here under the sound of my voice that would like to pray a simple prayer with me that gets you on the pathway, gets you out from the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where all these things that we're talking about become available because we've submitted our life to Him. We've surrendered our lives to Him, and we want more of Him in our lives. I make that invitation this morning, and of course, we're going to finish with a song now. We've got great lunch waiting for us, okay? Every first day of the month we have lunch, and of course, that's going to be served afterwards, so don't rush off after the service. Stay and have lunch with us. It'd be a blessing. And again, I just want to encourage you, if you'd like to pray a simple prayer with us this morning, we call it the prayer of salvation. And what it does, it takes us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, where He can start bringing that transformation. I needed transformation, church. How many of you agree you needed transformation? Amen. And you know, and it was Him that brought it. It was not anything that someone out the front speaking from a pulpit could bring or, you know, establish in your lives. It was something that He did. And that's why we continue to praise Him, continue to give Him the glory and the honour, because, you know, it's something that He does. And it's life-changing. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, God loves you right where you are. And He wants to reach you with His love right where you are. But He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to go to another level in Him. Amen? Amen.